All right, Daniel chapter 2. And let's go to, let's see, verse number, 34, 35. And maybe one or two others. And we'll look this morning. Going to look at stones this morning. Talk about stones. And, of course, we're lively stones. We're going to look at that in just a second, too. But I might have shared this with you before. I can't remember if I have. It's been a while ago. And I just was studying and got to thinking about this and something we need to keep in mind. And I don't know. I guess because kids are getting out of school, we're getting into summer months, and it's easy sometimes to get pulled away and not anything we're doing that's out here wrong. We just, vacations come along and nice weather and get outside and we get pulled away from other things. So keep in mind who we serve and I guess what the Lord has for each one of our lives. And so let's look here at verse number 34. So thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away. That means they was crushed to nothing. It was just dust, that no place was found for them, and that the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. If you'll flip over and see, for the sake of time, if you'll go to verse number, 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Verse number 45, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain. That's a blessing right there, ain't it? The dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof, sure. Think about that. And this morning what I want to look at was that stone. You know, if you notice there and you go back, and I always liked hearing Daniel preach from when he talked about when Daniel's interpreting the king's dreams. And one thing I've always noticed here, each empire, and we know this through history, and it's another good, another blessing. And I was going to say a good thing about the times we live in, but another blessing is that we live in times we can go back and look. And we know that all these empires, they fail by being overtaken. That's right. But now this stone that comes along, that's going to be a little different story. It's just not going to overtake them. It's going to crush them. It's going to be dust, like the chaff on the threshing floor. It's going to be nothing left. Because you think, I know Kim and I have talked before, and if things weren't like they are, I guess, around the world, after the kids got grown and stuff, she and I have talked before, where was the place you'd like to travel? She said, oh, I'd always like to go over to the Mediterranean. She said, and see, ancient Greece or Italy and see some of those places. And of course, you can see remnants of the Roman Empire. And of course, go to Israel and go to different places. And you couldn't go to all that because you couldn't afford it. But I mean, different times or pick a place and go, or somewhere in Europe. And I thought, well, I've always wanted to go to Germany or somewhere, And because my father-in-law was stationed over there, he said that, he liked it, and it was just a pretty country, reminding a lot of the U.S., et cetera. I'm saying that because there's remnants of a lot of these, nations still left. You go down to Egypt, you can see remnants when they were a world power. But when the stone comes along, when the stone crushes them, when the stone takes over, as we read here, which we know that's Jesus Christ, we know then there's going to be no remnants. There's going to be nothing to remind you of those kingdoms. And so I wanted to look this morning at the stone. And if you'll notice here, as we told in our scriptures, as we look down, it said the stone filled the whole earth. So it's a big stone. It's all encompassing. It's not just going to be a like we think a little pebble or a stone, like, you know, I need to get a rock out of my yard. It's not going to be something that small. It's going to fill the whole earth. I made a few notes about it too. And if you'll notice too, as we think about, there's no crowding out. In other words, it just didn't crowd out. You know, now today what they're trying to do is crowd out, Bible preaching. Just trying to push it aside. So, well, if we just don't allow a place for it, it'll go away. Prayer in school, prayer at the ball games, prayer at any public event. We'll just crowd it out. Push it to the side, eventually it'll fade. Well, you know what happens with that. It's the same way when communism takes over a country. Currently, they still try to, you know, crowd out preaching. But what happens is, a lot of times, preaching goes underground. People still meet in houses. People save pages of a Bible. We've heard those stories before. Just to have the Word of God. Can't crowd it out. Because as long as God's in charge and the Holy Spirit's still here, and you can't crowd it out. It's going to be preaching. God's got a people. Preacher just said that two or three Sundays ago. I know it wasn't last Sunday because I wasn't here. So it had to be the Sunday before. He said God's always going to have a remnant. And that's what He's going to have. But see, when the stone shows up on the scene, there's going to be no crowding out because there's not going to have to be. Because everything's going to be pushed out. Everything's going to be done away with. Everything else is going to be destroyed except worshiping Him. That's what it's going to be. And it's not going to be grace at that time with this stone. It's going to be judgment on these nations and on this earth. You think about that. The same way, though, as you look back through history, as each empire fell, some could say, well, that was judgment on the Romans. You know, look how they begin to live. You go back and study their, they got away from what got them where they were at, so to speak. They got to living on, all the riches that they'd attained, and kind of forgotten about what they had to do to get there. And I'm not saying that they were following God by any means, but I was talking about from a worldly sense. They kind of got loose living, and they got overtaken. But that's not going to be the case here. It's going to be a judgment upon these nations. And as we look, it's not going to be over a slow period of time either. Judgment's going to come quickly. And you think, oh, and some people tell you, well, it's been years and years. And you hear people say, oh, I've heard that preached since I was a boy. And they'll be older now. And they'll say, oh, that, you know, it doesn't seem like it's coming that fast. But you think about how short a lifetime is for us. And how, you know, today Christ could appear quickly. That's right. And that's fast. Twinkling of an eye. You know, you think about that. I guess that's always kind of puzzled me anyway. Not puzzled, but how quick an eye, you know, blinks. And I've tried to watch that and look in the mirror and, you know, try to catch yourself. And you can see it, but you realize that after it's gone, it's kind of like lightning in the sky. I know down in Houston last week they had thunderstorms. Oklahoma had all that. And evidently we got it. We had left, you know, but y'all got it here one night last week, Saturday night, Sunday night. Maggie called and said, you know, it was storming really bad. And Grandma said, don't get in the bathtub. I always get tickled there, you know. So Jewel will call me sometimes, and there'd be a storm or coming up. She'll say, what are you doing? I said, well, it's lightning over. I'm in the bathroom on the phone. Well, that really gets you tore up, you know. Because I get, you know, years ago, you know, you worry about lightning running in on the lines and stuff, but anyway, on the pipes and different stuff. But anyway, I say that because you think about lightning. I was telling Kim, we flew in there, and that lightning coming down. And out there, you know, you can see a long ways, and you'd see it just ground to sky, you know. I said, you know, your brain processes it after you've seen it. I said, just think how quick that is. You think about that. And that's how quick God's going to appear on the scene. You think, you know, you'd say that's quickly. You say, oh, but man don't have anything that fast. You think we do, but no, speed of light, so to speak. And then you only recognize it after it's already gone by. But anyway, I could go on and on about that, how people still, just by looking at things around us, still says there is no God. But anyway, that's a whole other story to get into that there. So that's kind of what Daniel's telling the king here. And we got other places we're going to look at. But so it filled the whole earth. It really overtook the other countries of the world and all the other nations. It destroys them, crushes them to stone. That's a blessing for us as Christians to know that. Victory's there. And we've already read the end. We know what victory's going to be. Satan knows that too. He's still out there pulling and pushing, trying to get our family members and And as many as he can follow him, but his world is going to crumble, so to speak. That's what's going to happen. So we'll look here. We'll try to get over in the New Testament for the rest of the morning. And, of course, we've already said the stone is Christ, Jesus Christ. And let's go over to Matthew, if you would. We'll start there. It'd be a good place to get in here and see. It's a blessing. Matthew, let's do chapter 21. We're going over in that chapter a little ways. And let's see if I can find it here. I didn't bring my other glasses with me. I got everything else in that bag, and I just forgot them. The girls were helping me this morning. I thought I remembered everything, but I can see pretty good if I lean back. Here we go, verse number 42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye ever read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same, and see, I always just love this. This is just a blessing. Well, all the scripture is. But you know, sometimes you read it, and boy, it just really just gets you stirred up. See, let me go away. Did you ever never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? Think about that. Has become the head of... Now see, that's the same stone Daniel was talking about. Same one. Here, I'm not going to be able to... I'm going to have to cut my eyes clear up here now just for a second so I can... The same has become the head of the corner. Oh, hold on just a second. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And if you trace that back, you'll go back to Daniel when he talked about those nations being ground to nothing on the threshing floor, just dust. And as we read here, what I'm going to go to, see, to Israel, this stone is a stumbling stone. See, Christ come as their Redeemer, as their Savior. The nation of Israel, of course, they rejected him. And of course, he knew that would happen. God did. But to Israel, it's a stumbling stone. And, you know, you recall, I guess it was Brother Mitchell, he mentions quite often that the Jews require a sign. And you remember Moses had to have a sign. Let's see, Gideon wanted a sign. Help me out here. Let's think of somebody in the New... Peter, going to Cornelius. He wanted a sign. Now, are you sure I'm supposed to go down there? Is that where I'm supposed to be? So to the Jews, they needed a sign. Also, if you'll notice, when Peter went to Cornelius, who was a Gentile, Peter took a lot of people with him, a lot of witnesses. That way, it wouldn't be just him, because he knew the other Jews would require that. Ooh, I'm leaning too far forward, sorry. So this stone is Christ, and to Israel, it's a stumbling stone. And if you'll stay where you're at, let me read you a couple of places, and then we're going to look at what it is to the church. Of course, we already know he's the head of the corner of the church. We're not talking about physical, but spiritually. And then we'll look at the Gentiles and we'll be done. But in Romans chapter 9, verse number 27, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, look right here, and I didn't even think about that, a remnant shall be saved. Talking about that word remnant again. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had lifted up his seed, we had been as Sodom, and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone.
That's right.
That's right. See, the more we get to looking at this stone, oh, there's a lot in there. And then at the same time, it's a stumbling stone to a nation, but it's also the same stone that's going to crush all the nations. As far as what interpreted, Daniel interpreted as far as the nations of this world. But now Israel is different from that. That's getting into something whole, completely different. But to them, it's a stumbling stone. As it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." You think about that. And you go through here, and I don't know how many times I've read about the stones, stumbling stones, and you know that, you process, you hear it preached on, but the importance, what that signifies, the stone. And as we look here and we continue, that's the stumbling stone to Israel. And of course, we know Israel required a sign, and that was a way meant to them and the way Daniel interpreted for them to have. Of course, they had the Old Testament to know what that stone represented, and they still rejected him. But to the church, and that's us today, the ones that are saved, to the Christians, it's the head of the corner. It's the reason why we're here, is to worship and praise him. Tell others about him. That's why we're here today. And they didn't come here to socialize or show social event. Now, Kim and I tried to get a picture. She said, "Get your camera out, get your phone out," is what she said. I call it a camera. But, of course, I was fumbling around. There was a lot of traffic. We drove right by old big church, Joel Osteen and his wife. I don't know her name. Her name was up there as big as his. I bet the letters of their names was as big as the car. But we drove by, and they were as big as this table. A big sign. And I'm telling you, this place was, and I've never been in there, so I don't know if they're not there, not the fellowship, but it was a big place. What now? I'm sorry. Well, I should have stopped winning, shouldn't I, Wayne? We went right by, but I was just going to tell you, several blocks. Kim said, "Well, I could have had that picture, but now I'm driving." But I didn't want her to do that because she's in her Houston mode, you know. She's all over, you know. But we several blocks. It looked like a gymnasium, like you'd think where they'd play basketball or soccer or football or something. I mean, like a big field or something. But anyway, and I asked her, I said, "You know, I did think about this, Brother Wayne." I said, "I wonder what's going on in there." I said, "You know, are they preaching?" I said, "You know, he's been on TV. We've seen him." I said, "Are they fellowshipping? Or are they got their, you know, I don't know." And you wonder sometimes, as we talk about the head of the corner, and you know, what the local church, from the way I understand it, that what we're here for. And what we try to do here, and I know the pastor's vision for the church and direction for us to take as the under-shepherd has been to get out into our local community. And they may do that there. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know that much about them. And even any time he's ever been on TV, I've always turned it. But just from what I've always heard. But as we drove by, it was so big and massive. My question to Kim was, what could they be doing in there? I mean, you know, what do you need that much space for? I mean, it was huge. And Greyhound buses lined up around the place. And I said, "Kim, they're busing them in." And she said they probably have to have that because they don't have the parking. So they probably bus back and forth to parking lots and things. I don't know. But you just can't beat this, the local church. And I think that's the way it was set up to be. Churches in the local community. You know, we think about how our nation has went downhill, so to speak, spiritually. You know, prayer out of the school, don't want prayer anywhere. We mentioned that just earlier. You know, I like driving through the country sometimes, and you get out in the country, and one thing that sticks out, and you think, well, there's some older farm homes over here, and I bet over here used to be a community. There's an old school. You always going across those churches, little country churches, sitting out in the community. You think about when they used to pray. I remember Preacher Jack said, you know, did I get this right? His brothers or friends or someone, I don't remember that story completely, but when off World War II, he still remembers the mamas praying and the churches praying for the boys in the military and in war. And said same way as Korea and Vietnam. And those little small country churches, said a lot of prayers were said in those churches. And you know, as I think about this as head of the corner of the church spiritually, and that's where we get our guidance from, individuals, the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts, telling us what he'd have us to do in the church together. We've got Vacation Bible School coming up. We're here for the community, here for each other. And I just say that because you think about what I'm getting into, you start thinking about state-run churches. You know, I think about they got that wedding coming up over in England, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people be dialed into that, you know. see what's going on. I don't even remember the name. One of those princes is getting married. Harry, I guess. Now it comes to me. And that was all over the news in Houston. And I guess it's been on the news here as well. But I started thinking about the church are getting married in. And they said, well, this church represents so many other churches in England. You know, and as I was studying, preparing a lesson, I thought, boy, you know, ain't it glad you can go to your little local church and you're represented by Jesus Christ, or that's who you represent there. And got the gospel to preach. And again, I haven't been there either. I don't know, so I have to clarify that. I haven't been inside their church and heard what they said either. But anyway, I got off on a tangent there. But I was just thinking about that cornerstone, what it represents to us and what it means to us as Christians and in our community. And you drive around, like I said, in this country, what you'll find in these real small communities is you'll find they may not still be meeting, it may be falling in, I don't know. But you'll find remnants, there you go, remnants, little churches all around this country. And as we meet this morning, and I've said this before, I've heard pastors say it, others, Brother John's even mentioned it, that if we're on the Eastern time, there'll be others that start to meet Central, Pacific, all, what is that, Mountain time, then Pacific. God's got a people. And it's all based on His cornerstone as the preaching and gospel goes out. Let's look one more place here in 1 Corinthians, and then we'll get over to what it means to the Gentiles, and we'll be finished this morning. And we will be early this morning. I thought this lesson would be longer, but it hadn't been. If you'll go over to, let me see, 1 Corinthians. Let's go chapter 1. I think that's it. Yeah, we were, while you're turning, I was thinking about what made me think about coming by that church. Their Waze, that's a little app we used to get around town. It took us by that. Where we were going was only 4.2 miles, but it took 34 minutes. And about half of that was going by that church. And of course, I'm supposed to be the person looking at the Waze app, tell her where to turn, and I was looking at the church the whole time. So ended up taking about an hour to get there because somebody forgot to tell her where to turn and which way. But I blamed it on that app. I said, I don't know, something happened. It didn't do right, is what I said. But anyway, let's see. 1 Corinthians 1, what did I say, verse number 18. Oh, this is what I want to get to. I should have, that there's what we've been talking about. I guess just what goes on and what you hear. And for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. That's what I was talking about. And you don't have to be just small. I'm sure there's big churches somewhere that's preaching the gospel too. Don't leave here thinking Brian said that only the small community churches, but I'm sure there's one somewhere out there, probably more than one. I guess some part of how we're raised and where we lived and kind of how, you know, like the smaller community maybe sometimes. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And that's kind of what we was talking about earlier. How can a person look around? Hey, you can talk about the lightning and the twinkling of an eye and think about how the body's made. I've said that before, that, you know, how we function and how we work and all our body parts and our lungs and liver and all that works together and all that happens in our brain. And, you know, and to think that we came from a fish. We crawled out on the sand one time and then it developed from a fish to this and that and a monkey and just went right on. And you wouldn't think it'd been that highly developed. You know, it'd take more than just the number of years they figure up, it'd take even, anyway, that's getting way off. But I don't know how somebody can look around, even at the heavens, and not know there's a God. And I think they know, and they just try to put it out of their head. I don't know what's wrong with them. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. In other words, the context of preaching, the good news, preaching to save them that believe. And in verse number 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews, there it is again, a stumbling block. We talked about a stone earlier, stumbling stone, stumbling block. and to the Greeks, foolishness. You know, it mentions the Greeks because, you know, they were the center of culture and knowledge at that time. That's where all our medicine comes from. A lot of the apothecaries and a lot of the, well, still a lot of the compounding, and Mr. Grizzle could tell you this too, I'm sure, more so than I could, a lot of the compounding that we originally had to use back through the 1800s and 1900s up through the 1950s, early 60s, on through, came from original knowledge that they had on what would go together and what would mix and how it affected the body and things like that. So when you say to the Greeks, foolishness, that's pointing out that, oh, they were the wise, that was the cultural center, that was the wisdom of the world at the time. And they thought of this preaching as foolishness. But to them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And that takes us back to Daniel, where all these Gentile nations, the world's going to be crushed, smashed to dust, blown away. Going to be no remnant left to see. As we see, there'll be a remnant small of Israel, and we talk about there's a remnant now. God keeps the people, even in these countries where communists and other rules have taken over, maybe where there's other religions that oppress them. They still meet in secret if they can. A lot of times they hide. We hear about those stories from missionaries. There's always a remnant, of course. But when the stone appears, as we read over in Daniel, there'll be no remnant of these nations left. They'll be gone. All right, let's look here. We'll move on. A couple more places we'll be finished. Let's go over to... Let's see, 1 Peter, if you would. I always have trouble finding Peter. I don't know why. 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 Peter. There he is, 1 Peter, chapter 2. I always get over, for some reason, I want to get over in John every time. Then if I go back the other way, I get into James. But I got him today. 1 Peter, chapter 2. Verse number 4 through 7, I guess, here. I had it marked down because, like I said, I always have. I don't know why. Like 1 Peter and 2 Peter squeezes right in there, and for some reason I just don't process where it is. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed, indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. You think about this. And, you know, and I remember we had that, that preacher... He came up to a revival from down around Harriman. That's right. And he came back, and he used in this example, if I remember, David and David's mighty men, how those mighty men were disallowed. In other words, that's an example of where David sometimes, or not sometimes, but he took into his confidence men who maybe the nation of Israel had rejected, or maybe peoples, their wives and families, who maybe they wanted to or follow and worship God, and others wanted to follow after Saul. But David took them in. The rest of the nation kind of, if I remember the way he preached that, presented that, had pushed aside. As if David reached down a hand to pull them up where David was encamped at, and they joined him. That's the same way as when God reached down to us, and we were saved, bringing us up to where, in other words, he pulled us up. I'd have to go back and listen to that and see how he gave that example. But if some of you remember that, he used this scripture here in relation to that when he was in the Old Testament preaching one night. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that lieth on him shall not be compounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which is disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So we need to rejoice this and that this morning. I mean, just in reading that and what Peter's sharing with us here. And a stone of stumbling and a block of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. In other words, they had the opportunity as well. The gospel is presented, is preached. And we look one more place and we'll be done. Oh yeah, we'll be done right on 1:45 today.
Unless they could have died a little slowly, you know, they say so and so's a chip off the old block.
Yeah. That's right.
Think about that stone, and then we as Christians, that's living stone, it's lively stone.
Yeah.
We're
a chip off the old block. That's right. We are. I never thought about that way. That's right. That's an awful big stone, a lot of little chips, isn't it? Because that's what we would be. But that's right. All right. Got one more place here. If you'll turn over to Ephesians 2 with me. And we'll be done this morning. Appreciate your time, your patience. This morning, just see what we've got in Christ and Almighty God. And not to be discouraged, but to encourage us that we know the end. We know no matter what happens, no matter who gets elected, no matter what happens in the midterm elections, no matter what happens in the next elections, no matter what happens with the currency and the stock market and all that, and it doesn't matter. God's already said it, and it's settled, and we know what's going to happen. Of course, you know when those nations are crushed at that time, all economies and all that will be gone too. It's not like that's just going to survive. When it says crush them or they go to as dust on the threshing floor and no remnant left, that means no remnant. There'll be nothing left. It won't be like when I said we want to travel to the Mediterranean, that area in those countries, or go to Germany, as I'd mentioned, or maybe see some of that. And you can see remnants from hundreds of years ago, or even over to England. I think they even mentioned that church. I mentioned it earlier where it represents all those churches. It was built sometime in the 1800s. Those things would be there'd be no way to reflect back into the past as far as what you visually would see. It's all going to be anew. We'll look here in Ephesians 2, and we'll finish up here with verses 20. Keep this in mind as we leave, and we'll be finished for the day. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I wanted to mention that because it's good to reflect back now as we're here and think about I already mentioned Brother Mitchell, he's still preaching, but I mentioned Brother Jack, who was here for several years, other preachers and pastors, that's pastored churches across this land, here locally, evangelists that's traveled and preached just over the years. That's kept the gospel going. The missionaries that's traveled, and think about that as the church has been built, so to speak, carried out. You remember the guy that came with the Bibles, and he told the stories about not only protecting the Bible, but how they would go out and preach, and they'd go to the far reaches of the land as they would know, you know, what we'd call out in the country, so to speak. And we've mentioned that already: small churches and communities to get the gospel out and spread the word. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. When I read that, I kind of think about in our age, in the last 100 years, 150, what's been done, the word's still carried forward, still getting the gospel out. Even though it's been trying to be pushed out, it's still being spread. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So that's what we'll end on this morning. As preacher said, which that is good. That's real. I didn't think about that. It's been a chip off the old block or chip off the old stone. And that's really what that's saying there too in Ephesians. Being builded together, framed together by the Holy Spirit. We're all one. You think about that. And see, now again, that's miraculous within itself. And we read about the stone, and we may not be here to see all that occur. Or some of us may be raptured out by then. Don't know how that's going to happen per se. Maybe coming in the years of tribulation, you know. But what I'm getting to is us with the Holy Spirit, we share that same bond. if you've been saved. See, that's amazing, miraculous in itself. Even more so, I think, than the stone. Anyway, that's it this morning. Right on time, maybe a minute over. Got time to visit.